Now. What's up there, Sparky?
Blessed morning to you guys.
Blessed morning back at you, dog.
Captain Hawk.
Smelly Cat's got the ball at the top of the key.
Smelly Cat, Smelly Cat.
And they just taking a kid's candy at the school's bus stop.
Give me that.
And Stacy's like, come on, Smelly Cat.
You
gotta
be stronger
with the ball, yeah. Man.
What are you looking at?
I just got a tweet, and I'm... Are you wearing a Lululemon shirt?
Yes, I am. Why?
I didn't know you shopped there. I'm getting tweets. Hall wearing Lululemon.
How did we get from Tony Snell to Lululemon?
Because it popped up on my Twitter.
How did we go from Smelly Cat to Lululemon?
And I was stunned. I'm like, there's no
way. Why are you stunned?
You think I got where I am today because I dress like Peter Pan here?
I know your wife's a yoga person.
We've had this conversation before.
It's a nice shirt.
Thank you.
And you saw, you like,
I was like, what are you looking at? Do I have like something?
And I
still
saw
something?
The three little stripes
did
up
my
there.
My airport breakfast all over my shirt.
It's like
that yogurt parfait.
Wow. I have renewed respect for your wardrobe.
Take a look at what I'm wearing, people. Do you think anybody wants a roundhouse kick to the face while I'm wearing these bad boys?
From the seventh floor of the Tribune Towers.
Boy, this has been tremendously tremendous.
In downtown Chicago.
Chicago!
Kolchak scores! Beauty!
Come on, sucker.
He is moving like a
get it on.
It's the Cap and Haw Show.
Everyone has to do their job.
We're going
to
ball until we fall.
That's a shot and a beer.
Do your job.
That's the Hazleton way.
Let's begin now.
Yes!
Good morning. Welcome in. Cap and Haw on for a beautiful Monday in the greatest city in the world. A great week ahead. He's David Haw, lead columnist, Chicago Tribune, representing in his Comcast Sportsnet golf shirt. I'm David Kaplan,
so
representing in my Comcast.
We got the memo.
Half zip.
See, this is a uniform I'll wear.
There you go. You got it. Mike Jacobson, our great executive producer. Matt Rooney, our associate producer. Pat Costell is our great director. Good morning.
Morning, Cap. How are you?
Doing? How are you, buddy?
Good. Busy weekend. Busy week ahead.
Yep.
I think this is a
great
place to be.
Yours was busier than my weekend.
Well, that's okay. You were able to enjoy a lot of things that happened. I was able to write about a lot of things that happened. And we're not done yet. This week ahead is going to be just as exciting, just as maybe dramatic, just as fun as last week.
Okay.
Because we have a lot going on.
I will tell you that this week is the single biggest week in sports in Chicago, and maybe nationally, this single seven-day period starting
since
today.
Since when?
Starting today.
Since... Well, you mean of
the
what?
Whole year.
Of the whole year. Of 2015?
Yes.
I think that's probably...
Hold on. You got NHL playoffs.
Pretty safe to say.
Nationally and obviously locally.
Yeah.
Hawks into the second round. They get the Wild.
And it's a national story because we're down to four teams in each conference.
Yep. You get the NBA playoffs. Bulls play tonight.
NBA playoffs.
The NBA. I like to call it the NBA. You get the NBA playoffs and we'll be there tonight.
We'll be there tonight. And I think that when you have Cavs, Bulls, that... Looming. That's
huge.
What makes this week so significant, potentially.
Cubs take two of three from the Reds. They come home. They're playing good baseball.
Yes.
The Cardinals lost Adam Wainwright. Oh, my goodness. Don't wish ill will on anybody, but that helps the Cubs.
The Cubs are
and
fun
the
and irrelevant. They're fun to watch.
White Sox take two of three from the Royals.
Two for one day at the Cell.
Yep.
How about that?
Phenomenal. The NFL draft in our city
Hold on
Thursday.
You just kind of snuck in the Sox there because moving forward this week, they get kind of overlooked a little bit.
Well, the Cubs, too. They'll both get overlooked.
Yeah, okay. I'm glad you mentioned the Sox, though, because it was a big day. David Robertson, whew, nasty.
Big time. NFL draft is in Chicago.
Yeah, by the way, for the people that appreciate and enjoy that kind of thing, I know that's not for everybody. This is a Bears town, though. This is a football city. If you don't like the draft, good luck with that.
Okay. You got Mayweather-Pacquiao in Vegas on Saturday night, which will be the
I'm
largest.
I'm much less excited about that than you are, but that's okay.
One of the largest.
Than a lot of people.
Might be the largest grossing event in the history of our country in sports.
Big numbers. This is historic.
Insane numbers. And then the best event of all of them, the Derby, is Saturday afternoon.
I respect your affection for the Derby and everyone's who likes horse racing.
So...
Yeah,
you add all that up, it's an insane week.
You're going to explode.
Yeah.
The Catman's going to explode.
It's an insane
By
week.
Wednesday, you're going to be chock full of sports excitement. I don't know what you're going to be like Saturday night. I can only imagine.
I will be at my brother's watching the fight, hopefully with a little money in my pocket after the Derby.
I imagine that Saturday night I will likely be in Cleveland. I think the Cavs and the Bulls are going to open Saturday.
All right, we don't know when the Hawks are going to play
yet.
I keep hearing rumors. I've got a friend at NBC. He said, dude, you should plan for Thursday night and Saturday afternoon.
It's complicated.
So we'll see.
But it could be Thursday, Saturday. They have to wait until all the playoffs are completed. The Red Wings game factors into that somehow.
And the Bulls.
The Bulls, Bucks factors into that somehow.
If the Bucks were to win tonight, they can't clear Saturday for hockey.
Yes, because of the co-tenant status. So you have to wait and see what happens there. I, in my mind, look, if the NHL really wants to go against the NFL draft on Thursday night in Chicago, when they want to stage game one Thursday night in Chicago, I don't know why they would want to do that. I don't know what league would want to, number one, I mean, the ratings risk alone, what you're doing to the fans, they don't care about the fans. That's obvious. But to me, it would make a lot more sense to either begin on Wednesday, which is the scheduled Game 7 for the Red Wings series, I understand, and they don't want to do that, or Friday, Sunday, but they want to have a TV slot Saturday for the leading into the Kentucky Derby.
Correct.
I understand the Saturday equation. I don't understand going against the NFL draft.
Okay, now I'm a diehard sports fan, and I do this for a living.
Yeah.
I love the draft. I want to know who my Bears take, and, yeah, who went one. But if I'm sitting at home, I'm watching the hockey game way over the draft. I'll flip back and go, Bears are on the clock. Let's watch this. And then as soon as the Bears pick, I'm gone. I can follow it on Twitter.
Yeah, maybe it's not for everybody, but it is for a lot of people. And I think the draft is a huge event. And if you don't understand how important the draft is in the context of your favorite football team, you're not paying attention. It has definitely been overcovered in recent years. Maybe the excess bothers you. But, you know, you need to accept the fact that this is a big deal.
Oh, it's a huge deal.
Not you, but I mean, I think people have to understand that, you know, this is the way you win in the NFL.
Right.
You win through the draft. And that's why there's so much analysis, over-analysis, coverage. And I know what's going on just a down the street from us bothers a lot of people in Chicago because it's disrupting their workday and their everyday. I understand that that's inconvenient. I also think it's pretty cool to have the NFL draft in Chicago.
I think it's awesome that it's here, and I hope it brings a lot of money into our economy. That said, yeah, I want to follow the top picks, but
right.
Do I care who the Steelers take at 19?
Yeah.
Not really.
To each his own. I mean, I have absolutely no interest in the fight.
Correct, and I can't wait for the fight.
And the Kentucky Derby, you know, if I happen to be, you know, on deadline and it's on in the press room and I'm writing my column after the Bulls and the Cavs and LeBron hits a, you know, three-pointer at the buzzer to make it 95-94 Cavs in game one, I might glance at the screen and say, oh, who's that? Who won? But I can't manufacture interest in something I've never had any interest in.
Correct.
So I'm not going to fake it.
Correct.
So.
Which shows you that there's so many different perspectives to come. Eddie's going to be doing horse racing over hockey.
I love it. Eddie's giving up the hockey, something he is exceptional at, and something that fans, and I've said this to him, fans look forward to hearing what Eddie Olczyk has to say about the hockey game he's attending.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what Eddie thinks about Corey Crawford replacing Scott Darling on Saturday night. I want to know what he said at that moment, okay? And whatever hockey game he's not covering while he's doing his horse racing duties, I feel deprived of my Eddie Olczyk insight. So,
right. And he'd rather do the horses. So that's interesting.
Anyway, we've got a big week ahead. We've got a big show ahead.
Yeah, Eddie at 9:25. Yeah. And again, he's on Twitter now, so you can follow him at Eddie Olczyk, OLCZYK. 9:55, the Swirsk. Chuck Swirsky. Follow him on Twitter at Swirsko54. Chuck Swirsky, play-by-play announcer, Bulls Radio Network. I wonder what the 054 is for. Can't be that many guys named Chuck Swirsky on Twitter.
Horace Grant?
I don't know. We'll have to ask him. Dan Shanka, former NFL scout, current general manager of OurLads.com, which is a great draft site.
Yeah.
At OurLads_Shanka, S-H-O-N-K-A. You can follow them on Twitter.
Talk to him about all those things you don't care about.
No, I care about the draft. Do I care about sitting there for 3 hours watching the first round? No. Anthony Rizzo will be with us at 11:25 at Rizzo 44.
You would not watch the draft for 3 hours, but you would watch draft day for a long two.
Yeah.
I liked draft day maybe once, but not like Will you watch it this week just to get in the mood?
I did already over
you
the
did?
Weekend.
Yeah.
Brett and I had it on.
Anyway, yep. Looking forward to
I'm hoping we can find a David Putney in the draft for us.
Maybe so. Anthony Rizzo, that's going to be fun to talk to him at 11:25 because he still has not been caught stealing.
Correct. For five. It's amazing. Hey, between this show, Sports Talk Live, Cubs pre- and post-game shows on Comcast Sportsnet, I'm working a lot for the few hours I have. It's very important for me to get deep, restful sleep. And I've never slept better now that I sleep on a MyPillow. The first night you sleep on one, you'll understand why they've sold over 5 million of them. It's the three-piece interlocking fill that conforms to your preferred shape. They come in four different support levels that guarantees you the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. MyPillow has a cooling effect, keeps your head cool throughout the night, so my bald head nice and cool when I get up. MyPillow is so confident you'll love them. They'll give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, refund 100% of the purchase price. But trust me, you're going to love your new MyPillow. Go to MyPillow.com. Use promo code KAP. Get 50% off. Or call 800-299-5854. 800-299-5854. MyPillow.com. Or call 800-299-5854. Promo code's KAP. Cap. Get 50% off. We bought them in my house way before they ever advertised. Folks, trust me. They're the real deal. 312-235-2525. Did you go to the Hawk game? Did you watch over the weekend? How about D. Rose falling asleep at both ends in the final seconds? Your thoughts. 312-235-2525. Be right back.
From Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is Cap'n Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
Here's now Keith Leftpoint. Fires! Score! In front of the Predator net! Marion Hossa and Jonathan Taves were creating a screen. Not sure if either one of them got a stick on that one, but it ended up in behind Pecorine. And with 3:48 left in the third period, the Hawks lead for the first time in this game.
2.5 minutes, 3 minutes left, so there was lots of time. I mean, there's nothing to celebrate there. It's, right to the end of the game, and luckily we were able to do that.
Courtesy WGN Radio, the great John Weideman on the call. Duncan Keith with two tremendous fakes. Brandon Saad with just enough contact to give him a little bit of a lane, and he buries it past Pecorine, who slumped his head to the ice and knew we're in big trouble, and it turned out that was the game winner.
Duncan Keith was outstanding. I think he's come to play at a level in game sixes that you expect him to be the guy that's the difference. There's a really stat that the Hawks released yesterday about just how good Duncan Keith has been in game six situations, and I think that they're 12-1 in those games. And when the Hawks needed their stars to play like stars, they rose to the occasion. And the last time that Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, Duncan Keith, and Patrick Sharp all scored in the same playoff game, I believe the statistic is, Saturday night they released it after the game, was game six of the 2010 playoff series against the Predators when they eliminated them the first time back then.
Down in Nashville.
5 years later, nothing's changed, and no matter who plays goalie, no matter who is on your blue line, if you have those guys playing at the level they're capable of playing, then you can overcome a lot of things. And the Hawks did not play. The numbers really are colored against them, tilted against them in the, you know, And it causes you to come out of it, as I know you feel, Cap, that, boy, what's wrong with the Hawks? And they were outscored 21-19 in the series.
How about this number?
I would like my chances, though, if I have those guys. And I think it says a lot about the resolve that they have. And I think that, you know, people mock the idea of them flipping a switch. But it's symbolic of a bigger thing. They know how to win. And much like when we watched the 90s Bulls kind of go through – ups and downs, ebbs and flow, right? That you always sense that there was a there was Michael Jordan certainly, but there was a championship pedigree that would be relevant and important that would help them get through whatever rut they were in and against whatever opponent who didn't have what they did. And I think that's what you feel like when you watch the Hawks, that there's a sense of inevitability, not invincibility, but inevitability that they're going to find a way no matter what the numbers say. No matter what the momentum shifts feel like, no matter what's going on, you had a sense Saturday night that was going to happen.
All right, how about these numbers? Predators led the Blackhawks for 117 minutes, 8 seconds total in the series. Hawks led for 29 minutes and 34 seconds.
Not much.
I mean, they were outplayed for a large portion of the series, the Hawks. They found a way to win.
They do.
Period.
And they do that time and time again. Can you win a Stanley Cup that way? Maybe not. Maybe so.
We'll find out.
Maybe so.
We'll find out.
You know, you're going against the Minnesota Wild that is as hot of a team as the NHL has had since January, right? Are they the best team?
Yeah, and they were
in the NHL
reportedly close to firing Mike Yao.
Yeah.
Their owner came out yesterday, Craig Leupold, and said, no, I was never going to fire him. We just had to figure out our goaltending. And they went and got Devan Dubnyk for a second-round pick from Arizona.
Devan Dubnyk, who was also in the Predators organization
Correct.
Last year with Scott Darling.
Correct.
And if Scott Darling were starting this series, and we don't believe that he will.
You have two ex-Predator goalies.
How about that? That's hockey. And you just get a sense that the Wild come in, and after eliminating the Blues, they're hot. They have confidence. They don't want to be eliminated by the Blackhawks yet again. And yet, I don't know if I am looking this objectively. I can see – I think it's Hawks in six or seven again.
Yeah, I would pick the Hawks in seven. That's how I'm picking it. Hawks in seven. Let's get Keith in Shanahan. Keith, welcome to Cap'n Hall. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Keith.
Hey, the question that I have is, you know, you're looking at the Hawks all year. They've had a hard time getting the puck out of their own end. Do you agree with me?
At times they have,
yeah,
absolutely.
They have.
Oh, my gosh. It seems like it's taken forever for to get that puck out of that end.
Will we trade for Nick Leddy again?
Well, I don't know. But Mike, the thing that I wonder about is how far are they going to go in the playoffs without getting that puck out of that end? It just stays there and stays there and stays there for the longest time. Hey, one other thing that I have is looking through the internet and all that, and I don't know if I missed this, but what happened to Carcillo?
He's still there. He's been
there.
Banged up,
yeah.
But he is now back skating, and he could be activated.
I think he had a concussion from what he wrote last week on the Players' Tribune, and now he's been skating again. So I don't think you've maybe seen the last of him, but where are you going to fit him in? You already have enough issues with trying to get everybody on the ice, Keith, and I think that's one of the big problems.
And they played the Blues, Keith, and we appreciate your call. Maybe he might have gotten an opportunity because it would have gotten a little chippy.
Yeah.
Guys like David Backes and Barrett Jackman, but those guys are gone. And they're expecting to part ways with Ken Hitchcock this week.
Joel Quenneville emerges out of that first-round series, I think, feeling pretty fortunate. And I think we can talk about the numbers, but I think that the hunches that he played with his goalies, they paid off in the end because you won in six. But, you know, there was a lot of second-guessing that he created, essentially, by pulling Corey Crawford in game one.
Yep.
And then the whole back and forth. And then he decided to go with Scott Darling in game six. Now, both of us said on Friday we would not have gone that route. But I think that he did. And he was pretty quick to replace Scott Darling, even though the things that happened in front of Scott Darling probably contributed to them getting
defense was
giving
awful.
Up three goals more than he did.
I taped the game on NBC, so mm-hmm. when my wife and I came home from the game, we watched all the goals on NBC, and we watched the end of the first period, Mike Milbury, Keith Jones, and Liam McHugh, who I think do an excellent job, and Milbury diagrammed on their smart board, mm-hmm. which is really cool what they have, and he said, look at the amount of space Duncan Keith made a mistake. I'm trying to remember who the other defenseman was. It might have been Johnberson made a mistake. He said, you get to the next round,
Oduya's on the first one.
A death knell.
I think Oduya was on the first
Maybe
one.
Maybe it was Johnny Oduya.
And I think because you're 70 seconds into that game, it's 1-0. Within 5 minutes of each other Saturday night, if you're a Chicago sports fan watching on TV, you see Derrick Rose take a vacation for 1.3 seconds left in that game. And then you turn on the Hawks, 70 seconds in, boom, they're down 1-0.
Brutal.
And all of a sudden you thought, this is what I waited all day for?
Yeah. Brutal. Brutal.
And, you know, it wasn't all Darling's fault, but I think the Joel Quenneville sensed that he needed a jolt, and he wasn't making those crazy, did you see that kind of saves that maybe he was making earlier in the series? And I don't know if it was because of the defense in front of him, maybe his confidence, maybe he's just a shade off. I don't know, but he made the right move. Quenneville goes to Corey Crawford. Everything changes in front of him. And Corey Crawford emerges victoriously and is, I think, got to be your guy going into game one.
Absolutely.
It would be a shocker if not. I think that Joe Quenneville kidded after the game when we asked him at the podium.
I think you know who I'm going to play.
Yeah, I think you know how he laughed about it. He was on Steve Cochran's show this morning talking about how that start, when they fell behind 3-1 in the first 10 minutes.
He was furious.
He said, I don't think that we've ever started a game that poorly. I think everybody there would agree. It was pretty bad.
Oh, it was brutal. Fans were all over him. 312-235-2525. 312-235-2525. We got to take a timeout. Eddie Olczyk's going to join us, and then we'll get to your calls. This 9 a.m. hour sponsored, as always, by the great people at ABT. Apt Electronics in Glenview. ABT, apt.com. Went out to a great spot on Saturday night with my wife pregame. The Ogden, right outside the United Center. Phenomenal spot, but it was packed because the Bulls were on at 4:30. So people are in there watching the Bulls and getting their Hawk on, getting ready to go over to the game. But I was amazed, 98% of the people are in Hawks gear versus Bulls gear, and some were there just for the Bulls game. But it seems like basketball, they don't wear as much team stuff as they do in hockey.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know. They'll be dressed. They'll be decked out in red tonight. You're going to see a lot of red tonight.
Red, no question. 312-235-2525. We'll get to all of your calls. Eddie Olczyk joins us next.
Olczyk got to it. Olczyk busting at center ice. Comes over the line. Shooting. He scores! Olczyk! A shorthanded goal! He just blew right through the defense at center. Coffey couldn't even catch him. Fired it by Fiore on the stick side.
For all you young hockey players out there, this is Eddie Olczyk. Don't do what Cap's doing right now, but kidding aside, you're listening to Cap and Hawk.
Olczyk!
That's our guy, the great Edzo, and he'll be on the call in Washington tonight for what should be a dramatic game. Game 7, the Islanders and the Capitals.
Great series.
The Loch Ness Monster was the guy who really got the Islanders rolling this year, plus the additions of Nick Leddy and Johnny Boychuk right before the season started. Be really cool to see them win, but I am not a Capitals fan. I don't like Alex Ovechkin. Respect his ability. Not a fan.
I have them coming out of the East, so I think that that would be the way I would go. But who knows? That's been a great series.
I'm hoping it's the Loch Ness Monster with a great game tonight. Eddie Olczyk joins us from the nation's capital. Edzo, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Morning, Eddie.
Hey, what's up, Tapper? David, nice to be with you guys. And, thanks for the tease. Looking forward to that Game 7 here in our nation's capital. It's been a heck of a series. Both goaltenders have been, have been really, really good. I mean, Halak kind of threw a dud the other day, Game 5 here in Washington. But, this is what it's all about, and this is why you play to get home ice. And they get the opportunity here in a Game 7, and look, look where the Hawks are. I mean, finished third in the division, and the way it is and how close it is, you want to finish as high as you can in the standings. And look, I mean, you think about it. I mean, just think about how it all broke here. The last game of the regular season, Minnesota was in St. Louis. They rested the heart and the core of their team in that game, and they didn't get any points. And remember, if they would have won that game and gotten 2 points, the Blackhawks would have had to get at least 1 point in Colorado that night. So you see how things fall and how it works out. And St. Louis couldn't get the job done against Minnesota. And obviously the Blackhawks were able to dispose of the Nashville Predators. You finish in third place, you get to the second round, and you got home ice. That is huge when it comes to playoff hockey, in my opinion.
So, Eddie, coming out of Saturday night, and you were there and did a great job as usual. So if you're a Hawks fan watching, if you're a Hawks somebody covers the team, are you to take away, number one, the deficiencies that created this sort of disparity? I mean, the Hawks were outscored in that series overall. They didn't have the lead for that long, as we pointed out in the show already. Or are you to take away their ability to overcome because of their rare combination of stars that we saw on display Saturday nights? Because I think that there's a discussion going on as well, this is what's wrong with the Hawks, but boy, you'd love to have their problems because this is who they have to overcome those problems.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the latter. I think it is about the resolve, David. I think that's where you're leading me here, and I agree with you 1,000%. Just in talking to a lot of the guys, and look, I didn't see anybody after the big win and the clincher the other night against Nashville. But throughout that series, I mean, to a man, they felt they needed to play way better. And at times they did. But at times it was a battle. It was a struggle. Nashville dictated the terms for a lot of that series. A lot of it was neutral, though. And then at times the Hawks were able to, you know, find a way and overcome and know when to rise to the occasion. And look, and their stars were stars when they need them. I mean, look at the guys that cashed in the other night. I mean, that game changed to me. Just go real back, David. Go back real quick to that game. And I mentioned this during the broadcast on Channel 5 the other night. It's a 3-1 game. James Neal decides that he wants to take a selfish bad penalty on Andrew Shaw 85 feet away from the puck. And that game changed as soon as Jonathan Toews scored off that great play from Patrick Sharp to make it 3-2. And then, of course, Patrick Kane off the great setup, face-off play from Brad Richards into the back of net 3-3. And all of a sudden, you're back to square one. Like, that game, and I don't want to say the series changed because I don't know, you know, what might have happened or could have happened. It didn't happen. It doesn't matter. But to me, you just never know when the door is open. And that's a sign of a champion. When somebody allows you a chance to get a shot in, you got to take it. And that bad penalty by James Neal, who had an incredible first period up until that point.
Two goals.
Really changed, yeah, it changed the momentum of the game. There is no question in my mind that changed the outlook of that game without question, because the Hawks were reeling. I mean, they were reeling at that particular time. They weren't passing. They weren't skating. They were getting outworked. Nashville was the better team for sure. But that, to me, I think, David, to your heart of your question and me being long-winded as usual, is I think that when the door is open for a champion, you take advantage of it, and the Hawks certainly did that the other night, and they're moving on.
Ed, so I want to get back to a comment you made a few minutes ago. You said that's why you play to get home ice advantage. Yet, uh-huh. If you go back through the stats, last year, road teams in a Game 7 in last year's playoffs, 6-1. Wow. How about that?
Yeah, hey, look, I mean, I think that that's where you've seen the game change. All the games are, I mean, they're cookie cutters, right? They're all the same size. They're pretty much the same, you know, dimensions from board to board and end to end. And, you know, all the rinks are pretty same. So teams are very comfortable. And, again, the focus is the biggest thing. But for me, look, if I got a chance for matchups, I want that Game 7 at home. I know what the numbers are, and I think it goes in cycle cap. I don't think that there's any doubt about that. I think it's in all sports, is that it has its runs on, you know, home teams doing well and whatever. But I think if you'd ask anybody, I think we'd all, fans, fans, players, coaches, managers,
take it at home.
You'd like your shot at home. To try to move on in a series, no question.
Eddie, you've probably been in this situation as a player. You certainly have seen it as a broadcaster and as a coach and executive. What happens when a team changes goaltenders that everybody in front, everybody else on the ice seems to get a little bit of an extra boost out of that? Because I think that Scott Darling wasn't the spectacular guy he was previously in the series, but he wasn't terrible. The three goals weren't all his fault, as we've talked about, and yet Corey Crawford stopped all 13 shots he faced, but it was partly because everybody in front of him was that much better when they made the change.
Yeah, it gets your attention as a skater, for sure. And I think that, you know, anytime it happened, a long time ago for me, David, that a coach did make a goaltending change. I mean, look, players, coaches, more times than not, I think most astute hockey fans understand when a coach is making a goaltending change and what's the reasoning going into it. I mean, you know, is it 50-50? Is it 70-30? Is it, you know, because the guy, you know, the guy's playing dodgeball? Or is it that the team's just not playing for him and this guy is just, you know, are they perfect shots? I mean, look, go back to that game the other night. I mean, I think for Scotty, I mean, look, I think that the first goal was probably stoppable, but I mean, a heck of a play by Neal. Skate right, shoot left, keep it on the ice, throw it right onto the right pad. You know, then the Neal redirect, and then the Cullen coming off the wall. He beat Duncan Keith on the wall and made a play and made a perfect shot posting in. And it was probably a combination, but look, I can never put my feet in the skates of a goaltender, let alone at the National Hockey League level, and then add it to being a Chicago kid in goal. Like, I can relate to Scott Darling of what it's like to play in front of your hometown fans and know that you got 44,000 eyeballs on you in a game six where you can clinch and move on to the next round and know you got another million eyeballs watching you at home. I know what that pressure is like to a certain extent. And, he battled. He gave the Hawks an opportunity to win that series. And like I said, I mean, he came in long relief and did an incredible job in game one. And like we talked about in game five back in Nashville, like I thought he gave up a couple of softies. And, you know, Crawford came in and really wasn't challenged as much as Darling had been or even in the game before. But you need everybody. So at the end of the day, David, I think that when a coach makes a change, a lot of it gets the attention of the players. And certainly everybody knows that the goalie just doesn't have it or, hey, we're not giving him much help. So, we better tighten up the skate laces.
All right. Eddie Olczyk is our guest. I want to bear with me here. I want to make a statement to you. I want to play something for you, and I want you to react to it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
During the series, the Predators led the Blackhawks for 117 minutes and 8 seconds. The Blackhawks mm-hmm. held the lead in the entire six games for a total of 29 minutes and 34 seconds. Okay, mm-hmm. So I get home from the game on Saturday night. I tape the NBC broadcast. I watch all the goals. I watch mm-hmm. the between periods with Jonesy, Milbury, and Liam McHugh. I hear all the analysis, and then I flip over and I hear this.
The Chicago goaltending situation. Crawford started, was pulled. Darling was pulled. Crawford went back in. These are great goaltenders, but they haven't played consistent for the Blackhawks. So I give Minnesota the edge in goal, but otherwise I give Chicago the edge in forwards. I give them the edge in defense. They got a lot of guys that have won two Stanley Cups. They're playing great right now. Played great in the first round against Nashville. So I think Chicago has the edge in most areas. But the goaltending is a great equalizer, Neil, and Dubnyk has had a fantastic year.
All right, that's Barry Melrose. I watched that. My wife was falling asleep. She goes,
what series was he watching?
That my wife said exactly that. My wife, who loves hockey but didn't play, my wife said, did that guy watch any of the games? Because that's the stupidest thing she's ever heard. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, look. We saw every minute of every game. To say that the Blackhawks played great at times, no question. Goaltending at times, give me another word past great. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt. The long relief of Scott Darling in game one
was critical.
No question. Yeah, I mean, at times for sure. But to say that, I mean, to think that the Hawks dominated and played that way for a long stretch of that playoff, to me, they found a way to win, and that's great. Great teams do that. But to say that they, were great in that series, I think you could probably take a poll in that locker room, and I would guarantee you there wouldn't be one guy that would say that they played great in that series.
But I wouldn't dispute what he said about the next series moving forward.
What I heard was the last series.
Right.
They're going to have to get, the goaltending is going to have to be more consistent for sure. I agree with that. And Devan Dubnyk, who rightfully so is a finalist for one of the Vezina Trophy finalists for goaltender of the year, David. I think I made this point with you guys before the playoffs started because I think that it's important for people to know. But Devan Dubnyk's had this type of year even when he was in Arizona. Like, he was out playing Mike Smith in Arizona when he was there before he went to Minnesota. The only thing was is he wasn't the number one starter in Arizona. He was the backup. Like, he's had from start to finish. I mean, he's deserved. This isn't just about it. It's gotten people's attention for being a Vezina finalist in a regular season. This series is going to be a heck of a series. I mean, Minnesota's playing with a lot of confidence. They're a fast team. They play really well in a neutral zone. Like, I think Minnesota, and I've had a couple of coaches in the National Hockey League tell me this, and I would agree, is that there are not – I like to see a team that is better in the middle of the ice in a neutral zone between the two blue lines than the Minnesota Wild. And that's really where I think this series is going to be determined, is that do you turn pucks over in the middle of the ice? Can you get through there? Do you have the willingness to be able to dump the puck in and go get it if they have three and four guys lined up across the blue line? So discipline through the middle of the ice, to me, will be a real key for the Blackhawks in a series against a team that can really play well in between the two blue lines.
Psychologically, what's happened in the past several seasons, a couple seasons with the elimination of the Wild at the hands of the Blackhawks, does that factor in at all?
David, I would say if they hadn't been on this run and everything that's gone on for the Wild here in the last little while, I would say yeah, probably. But I mean, this is a pretty good team. I mean, they're going on all cylinders right now. They're getting contributions from a lot of different guys. You got fourth line guys scoring. You got defensemen. You got Parise, who is playing as good as anybody in the playoffs right now, and we all know about Devin Dubnyk. So I don't think so, David. I think that this is, you know, this is a team that's got a lot of confidence, and they certainly played like it. And look, I mean, they upset. I'm really surprised at how St. Louis went away in that series. Like, I'm really surprised that they did not generate a little bit more, finish off a little bit more. And Minnesota Wild, the fourth seed, moving on. But I don't think that what's happened here the last couple of years will have any bearing on what happens in this series.
Edzo, appreciate the time. Looking forward to tonight's game. We're going to have it on at Wrigley so we can watch that because Holly and I have posts there. But it's going to be a lot of fun. There's nothing like Game 7 in the NHL playoffs. It's sick.
All right, boys, let's get some runs tonight, and we'll look forward to talking at the end of the week. And next time I talk to you will be from Churchill. So I look forward to chatting with you guys at the end of the week.
Oh, that's – when do you leave?
Shortly.
Oh, that's – God bless. I'm going to be out there in a couple weeks to go to the races, but I'm not going to be there for the Derby. Enjoy it. I can't wait to hear your work.
Take care, Eddie.
All right, boys. Keep up the great work. Love you guys.
Talk to you. You too. See ya. There he is, the great Eddie Olczyk. He'll do the game tonight and spend a week doing horses, and he's jacked. 312-235-2525. We'll get to more of your calls a little later in the show. There's an update on the Joe Maddon tampering investigation.
There's an update?
Yes.
That's still going on?
Yes,
how long do they need?
They're hopefully going to have it done by the time he retires.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Five-year contract with the Cubs, and by the end of that five-year contract, they promise the investigation will be wrapped up.
Get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curved 4K Ultra HD TV Adapt in Glenview. With the Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come into app today to see the complete selection of Samsung electronics, or call them at 847-544-2228, 847-544-2228. For complete satisfaction, free delivery, and a better experience, shop where we shop. It's Apt, A-B-T. Apt.com. Ask for our buddy, the great Steve Shapiro. Apt pleasing people since 1936. We'll get to your calls. Chester, Mark, Norm. We got a line open, 312-235-2525. Is it the best sports week of the year? Some would say yes. I agree. Take a time out. Be right back.
From Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is Cap'n Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
A little backhanded ahead. The state of hockey in a state of euphoria as they'll go to the second round.
That was the final call yesterday with Dave Strader, I believe, was on the call on NBC. It was the end of the Wild and the Blues. And St. Louis expected to part ways with Coach Ken Hitchcock at some point this week. Will they blow up their core is the other question. It's Cap'n Haw on Comcast Sportsnet. He's David Haw, lead columnist of the Trib. I'm
David
Kaplan.
That was a good call. State of hockey and a state of euphoria. There's not a better place. I haven't been to every NHL arena, but I can't imagine a better place to watch a game than the XL Energy Center.
No, I went
Paul.
To college in St. Yeah. Paul, so we would go to the state hockey tournament, the high school tournament. Mm-hmm. They would get $18,000 a game, and it was sick.
I believe it.
So my junior and senior year, part of my work-study job, it was in the athletic department. They sent us to the state fairgrounds to run the penalty box for the high school games.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't believe the big-name players. Aaron and Neil Broughton, Scott Bukestedt, Dave Maley, John Casey, who played goalie for the North Star. They were all high school players. Hockey up there is insane.
Yeah, think of basketball in Indiana. That's the way you think of when I think of hockey in
basketball
Minnesota.
Basketball in Illinois.
No, I mean, Illinois is not known for its high school basketball to the extent that Indiana is. I mean, you can say that. It's just not.
I guess the talent's better in Illinois, but the legend of basketball is bigger in Indiana.
Have they made a movie about high school basketball in Illinois? Have you seen Hoosiers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Do I really need to explain the connection there? I mean, I don't really think
it's hard. Hard
I think
for
it speaks
me,
for itself.
Hard for me to admit that somebody has better high school basketball than
okay.
Illinois.
I'm not asking you to have some sort of personal admission here. I'm just making the comparison. When you think of high school basketball, its importance in Indiana, that's how similar it is to high school hockey or hockey in general in the state of Minnesota.
Yet they lost their NHL team. That's the amazing thing. When
yeah,
the North Stars left.
Yeah.
Because they didn't get enough support, which is crazy.
Well, the Wild back and Zach Parise is playing as well as Eddie pointed out as any player in the playoffs. He had a shorthanded goal and a full-strength goal yesterday.
I still don't know how the shorthanded goal went in. I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah, I did see it.
I have no idea how that puck got in the net.
This is going to be a great series, and I don't know that –
How much of that game did you see yesterday?
Oh, bits and pieces.
Okay, so they go interview Ken Hitchcock like they do, you know, with the coaches. And I think it was Brian Engblom. He's down there, and he said, Coach, you give any thoughts to pulling Jake Allen? He said, no. You got to stick with a young guy. He's fine. 28 seconds later, he gives up a goal, and he's out. 28 seconds after the interview. Crazy. Chester on the north side. Hey, Chester, welcome.
Hey, Chester.
How you guys doing today, Cap'n, huh?
Good. What's going on here, bud?
Listen, I just got a real observation. I know Minnesota Wild, they're hot right now. They had a real rough physical series with St. Louis, but my biggest thing with the Blackhawks is that they need to play better defense and play more checking because this is a fast team. And that's just my opinion. You know, I'd like to hear your opinion on that because, you know, I watched the whole series, and I'll tell you what, there were some ups and downs in that series. But with the experience the Hawks have and the players they have, yeah, they came out on top. But I think in this series, I think they have to play better defense.
I completely agree with you. Chester, thanks for the call,
thanks,
buddy.
Thanks, Chester. Defense has got to improve, no question.
But they also have to get more out of the back end of that defense. You can't just play four guys. Teaming in, I don't know whether it's Runblad, Roosevelt, Comiskey, somebody is going to have to give them some quality.
Well, you can play four guys. I mean, the Hawks have been basically getting by with four guys.
You can't win a cup doing it, I don't think. You run out of gas.
You might run out of gas. This break is going to help them. I mean, if they don't start until Friday, this layoff is going to be very good for the Hawks, and that'll help guys. But you know, Duncan Keith, who is kind of, there are no rules that apply to Duncan Keith that apply to everyone else. But he played 46 minutes in the triple overtime game and was the difference maker on Saturday night, a couple nights later. So he's fatigue-proof. He had some letdowns, certainly, but he was maybe the best player on the ice Saturday night.
He was good.
He was outstanding.
He was.
And the stick handling that you take for granted, he was on full display. And that last, the game-winning goal, it was none better than, you know, that was a masterpiece, the way that he handled himself there. Yeah, so I know what you're saying, and in theory, you're right, because you want to be as deep as possible. But I don't know that the Hawks are going to win or lose a Stanley Cup based on the fifth or sixth D-man. I just don't.
I completely disagree with you.
You think the Hawks, that's going to come down, their Stanley Cup fate is going to be sealed by whether or not their fifth or sixth defenseman
can give them any quality minutes so that Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook are fresh? Yes, 1,000,000%.
I think it's a
can't disagree with you more vehemently.
I think it's a factor. I've seen you more vehement, though. I think you could actually
only
do
if
more Cuddy, I think you
only
could
if
be
Cutler's
more vehement, actually. I think you could
up.
Disagree with me more vehemently. I haven't even mentioned country music.
Or Cutler.
That would get you more vehement.
Cutler.
You know they made a promo out of that? I'm sorry, I digress.
Where?
They made a promo out of your...
What are you trying to be me now? Going all... Oh.
Yeah, I'm all over the road here. Hold on, let me tweet somebody here.
Who made a promo?
Hey, Eddie.
Make sure you work the text message.
Exactly. Okay. Who made the promo? CSN Chicago made the promo.
I haven't seen it.
Of you ranting against country music. That's a promo. That's like representative of our show.
Didn't
you ranting against country music. What was I ranting about? Oh, come on. I know the importance of depth on the blue line. I understand that. I understand that you can't, in theory, go very far. You don't want to play with four guys. But if you tell me the list of things that are going to prevent the Hawks from winning a Stanley Cup, I don't know that that's like at the top of the list.
It's certainly right near there. If they get nothing out of anybody on that back end of the group,
I think how you play in the power play is important. I think how your goaltending consistency is important. I think a lot of these things probably rank to me more importantly than who your fifth defenseman is.
Not who. I'm saying they have to get play out of them, because if they're going to play those four guys insane minutes, they can't win the cup.
Okay.
Personally believe that.
Back to the calls.
Let's go to Mark in Mount Greenwood. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Capper. Hey, how I take Chicago basketball over anyone in Indiana any day.
Okay, that's fine. It's Chicago. I mean, if someone's tweeting hoop dreams. I know, they made hoop dreams. It's Chicago. I'm talking about when I say
you mean
high
like
school
Texas
basketball.
Football?
Yes.
Okay, I'll give
okay.
you that.
Texas football, fine.
But yeah, well, regardless, I mean, Chicago all day. But I think
okay. I'm not criticizing Chicago. Okay, it was an analogy. It was an analogy that really doesn't need any more explanation than we have given it. So, what's your point?
It's more of a question. What do you think about Kevin Hayes? Do you think the Hawks be better with him?
Well, of course they would. Thanks, Mark. Of course they would. Kevin Hayes, pretty good player. Hawks gave up on him. He wanted a guarantee. They were going to make it.
Which I think will turn out to be a major mistake.
Could be. He's a very good player. There was some bad blood there. The Hayes family and the Hawks weren't exactly, Christmas cards.
But he would have signed. Had they guaranteed him he was on the team this year.
They were going to make that guarantee.
They made a mistake. 22-year-old, 6'5".
That's easy to say now.
220-pound
player. Would you want a guarantee? I mean, what was the guarantee that he wanted?
That he's not going to Rockford, that he's on the team this year. Correct.
That's a bold request.
Well, so he's a key player on the best team in the NHL.
But hindsight is 20/20.
No, hindsight, that's ridiculous. They should have known that.
That's not ridiculous. Hindsight is 20/20. Let me look back.
Stan Bowman and his crew should have known that this guy's that good, that he's a key cog on the team with the best record in hockey. He should be here. That's big mistake. Big. Huge. 312-235-2525. We're going to shift gears. Chuck Swirsky joins us to preview game 5
tonight. Chicago basketball is pretty good. We'll talk to Chuck about that.
It is. Very good.
Bulls, too.
We'll take a timeout. We'll come right back.